Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
I should have a joke here.
Talking about the second serial of the fifth season of Doctor Who, the second serial of the fifth season, the abdominal.
Nope, that's not it.
The abomination.
Why does that word so hard to say?
The abominable. Snowman. I got it. Nailed it.
You did not.
Nailed it. The abominable snowman.
The abominable?
Abominable.
The abominable.
That doesn't sound right.
It definitely is the only time
I think you're supposed to say snowman after it.
The abominable snowman.
The I was really going to say it and I still fucked it up. The abominable snowman.
You did it.
There we go.
Why do you want to say abdominal?
Abdominable?
Abdominable.
Abdominable snowman.
What a terrible snowman. Word.
Which consists of 6 episodes that aired from September 30th, 1967 to November 4th, 1967. That's 6 episodes, 5 of which do not exist. Only the second episode exists. And those were...
True Facts!
Abominable Joe Fax.
The abominable little Joe Fax.
I mean, you had it.
The abominable little Snow Fax.
That's it.
Snow Fax.
Snow Fax.
Snow Fax. Okay, before we jump in, today we were supposed to have a guest, but he's super busy, you guys, and I want to tell you why.
He's too famous for us now.
He's too famous for us now. I think literally yesterday he was signing a book. Ray Friesen, who's previously been on the show, was supposed to be our guest today. But he's busy. He made a graphic novel adaptation of Terry Pratchett's Small Gods, which is a Discworld story. Like, he's touring right now, signing books and stuff. So that's really, really cool.
Right, and you should go now and buy it.
Yeah, I think it's out in the UK. It might be out in the US by now. I'm not sure when this episode goes up. It might not be out in the US quite yet, but it's definitely out in the UK.
You should figure it out and then edit that.
Or just look it up. Just Google it, you guys. Small Gods Ray Friesen. That's all you gotta do. You can probably buy it from the country that has it and ship it to your house from there. And then you'll have the added pleasure of seeing the words color with an extra U in it for no reason.
Which, speaking of, we both did coloring work.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah, we did coloring work on Small Gods. So our names are probably in
some.
The book.
Some. Some. We helped.
So, anyway,
episode 1
of the Abominable Snowman, which
the
I have
abdomen
called
snowman
Pyramid of Spheres. That's my title.
That is
for it.
The weakest title out of the 6 titles that we have.
See, you start off small.
So you have something to look forward to. They get better.
Sure they do. So we start off with screaming, which is always a good way to start an episode.
I had written down campers, but they are scientists there for an exposition.
Exposition? No, Tony, exposition is what you are currently doing.
God damn it.
What they are doing is an expedition.
Say abominable.
Abominable.
Fine.
Nibba.
Exposition. Fuck! If you had said it, you would have edited that out so that you would sound smarter. You're going to leave that in. Like some
yes!
kind of asshole.
Of course I'm going to leave it in. That's the perks of being the editor.
Expedition is what I meant to say.
These two campers / scientists are on an expedition. I don't remember the one guy's name.
John?
Sure. He's dead. Who gives a shit? The other one's name is Travers. And we will learn a little bit more about Travers as we move along through this serial. Travers is on an exposition.
It's not even like...
They're like complete opposite, too. Because expedition, you're going to like learn things. Exposition is sort of like you're telling people things. And that's a Joe Fax.
Joe Fax! So the TARDIS team lands there after John gets dead. Do we see John? I mean, we don't see anything because the episode doesn't exist. But basically, we just sort of hear him scream and know that he's dead. I feel like that's what we...
Well, I don't even know if we know he's dead. It's just that something bad's happening.
I mean, you never see him again, so you know that he's dead.
Well, I mean, eventually, the doctor's gonna... Well, we'll get to that.
Eventually, we'll get to... Yeah, he's dead.
He's dead. The doctor's going to find his body at some point. So we do know he's dead eventually, but I don't know if he's... I don't know if he died at the beginning of the episode or not, or if he was just...
I mean, he screamed, and it's like the last time he's in the thing, he... You know he's dead.
Yeah, I know he's dead.
I don't know why you're being so picky right now.
No, I'm just saying, I don't know for certain if we know for a fact that he's dead at the very beginning of the episode, or if something bad is just happening. But we later, it is confirmed that he died.
All right, now that we spent 20 minutes on this character, who literally, that's the only time he's in this episode.
Other than when the doctor finds his dead body. But yes, continue.
Team TARDIS lands. They know that they're in the Himalayas, so they're looking for coats, I think.
Because it's going to be cold.
Because it's going to be cold. Although Jamie's like...
I've got Scottish blood.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I'm a Highlander. But they're looking for coats, and they're, like, rummaging. No, they're not looking for coats. They have found coats. And the doctor has his big fur coat, which is the first time we've seen it.
It's also going to become a plot point later on, this giant fur coat of his.
I feel like the fur coat is fairly iconic. Like, when you think about two, you think about the fur coat and the recorder.
I don't think about the fur coat, but I don't know. I think of just that, like, raggedy-looking First Doctor-esque outfit, but, like, doesn't fit him.
Definitely none of his clothes fit him.
Before they find the thing they're looking for, they find something?
Something! And the doctor's like, yes, it's... I haven't seen this in ages. It's nice to see this again. And Jamie's like,
What is it?
He's like, well, whatever it is, it's nice to see it again. Which is kind of what I sound like when we're cleaning out our closets.
That's how I, when we're cleaning through stuff and I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to hold on to it because it might be important later.
It might be something we need. I don't know. I haven't used it in 2 years and this is the first time I'm seeing it.
But knowing my luck, if I throw it out like 5 minutes later, I'll be like, where's the thing? The entire house is collapsing in on us. Where's that small, weird button you threw away?
Where's that small, odd-shaped piece of plastic? It's the only thing that can save us. And then they find bagpipes!
Right.
And Jamie's so excited. He's like, ah, I know what those are! And the doctor's like, I'm sure you do. And like quickly is like trying to hide them to get them away from Jamie as soon as possible.
Well, what he's looking for is a... Ganta, which is a bale, and they find it, and it's, like, labeled with, like, Sharpie. Holy Ganta.
It's got masking tape and Sharpie. I like that the doctor has, like, a terrible, like, because these things are not, like, deep into the TARDIS anywhere. Yeah. They're, like, sort of laying out. He's not very organized.
But the doctor's like, I'm gonna go out and explore things. You guys stay here.
Which Victoria's having none of.
Victoria turns the scanner on to check on the doctor, and it's like, wow, she's adapted really quickly.
Yeah, so impressive. I mean, it's a small thing, but she's like, I think, you know, if I turn the knobs this way, that turns the scanner on, and I'm like, oh, she knows! She's learning!
And they're scanning around, and Jamie's like, oh, there's a great hairy beastie! He's like, oh, no, wait, that's just the doctor.
That's just the doctor in his fur coat.
Great hairy beastie is the doctor. But then they're like, oh, we should leave anyway, and they're like, I don't know.
They know that there's a monastery nearby. That's what the doctor's going to check out. And he's like, I'm gonna go check it out first.
And take this Ganta.
Yeah, make sure things are cool, and then I'll come back and get you.
Jerry's like, we don't even know if you can go. I mean, like, how do they feel about ladies? I don't know. But the doctor is going around looking and finds a gigantic footprint. A big footprint. A big footprint. Bigfoot footprint. A Bigfoot footprint.
A big foot footprint.
Guys, it's a Bigfoot footprint.
Okay. I think they got it.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I think they're intelligent. Despite your complete inability to communicate,
are you picking out what I'm putting down?
I think they've figured out what it is.
It's a Yeti footprint.
You're trying to say.
It's a footprint of a Bigfoot. Guys, this episode's about the abominable snowman. It's an abominable snowman footprint.
Abominable. I didn't say God. I can't even correct you because I can't say it right.
Abominable.
It's not abominable.
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 Oh, shit. Now I don't even know. I'm pretty sure I'm saying it right, but it doesn't sound right anymore. Abby normal.
Abominable.
Abominable.
The problem is you want there to be a D in there. You want it to be abominable.
You say it and you just start scatting.
Anyway.
A-bop-a-da-bop-bop-bop-a-da-bop-a-da-bop-a-da-bop-a-da-bop, snowman. Anyway, it's a Bigfoot footprint.
But we see the foot that made the footprint. It looks like a chicken's foot.
It's an abominable chicken foot.
Well, I mean, it's furry, but it's got like...
It's got like the little claws, yeah.
Yeah, it looks very chickeny.
Like a bird talon.
The doctor happens upon the campsite that we saw earlier.
And there's a...
Only now no one's there.
Oh, right. Okay, so when the guy was screaming at the beginning, the guy who died, he shot at it. He heard a gunshot, and that's the last thing you heard, I think. And then you see the rifle, and it's all fucked up. It's like bent up and like torn up, and it's like, what could have done this?
I don't know. Maybe a Yeti. They're really bad about not burying the lead. Doctor Who. What could this be? Well, I don't know, but the episode's titled The Abominable Snowman, so maybe it's that.
Could be.
Just a guess.
But what it turns out to be is a little bit surprising. What the Yeti itself turns out to be. But anyway, the doctor finds the fucked up rifle, and then he finds the fucked up camper, John, all fucked up and dead.
Can you curse a little less? Like, Jesus Christ.
Shit, I'm sorry. So it's the dude's dead, and he finds the dead camper. And he's like, oh no, this is bad. Why is everywhere I go...
Why do I find dead bodies, like, all the time?
What is this, a procedural?
Victoria, by the way, has meanwhile convinced Jamie that they're going to go out anyway. I don't remember how... I think she basically pulls, well, I'm going to go out, and if you don't go out, no one will be there to protect me.
Victoria does what she wants to do. In the last episode, or last serial, she said she wanted to do things. She's like, I'm going to do what I want, but then never really did. This serial, she does
what she wants.
She does what she wants. Sometimes to the point of like, hey, maybe don't do that. But yeah, they go out. They're gonna go exploring. And guess what? Jamie's cold. The doctor was correct, but he goes back to get a sword because he's like, he doesn't know what might be out here, and he's going to protect Victoria. But the doctor, meanwhile, has made it to the monastery. There's no one there. He knocks, no answer. He goes in. It's empty. And then at this point, he sees this giant Buddha statue, and I just got this like premonition that racism was a coming, and then a racism shortly thereafter arrived.
I mean, basically what you have to know is that it was set in Tibet, and the BBC at this point has had like two colors of actors in the history. What? Two actors of color in the history of the BBC. I'm having a hard time with words today. Stop. Let me say it
again. Two colors of actors.
Let me say it again. Let me do it again. I'm going to... Stop! Are you ready?
Please go.
Basically, what you have to know is that...
Sorry.
I haven't even said anything yet!
I know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please, continue.
Can you try to be a little bit professional? You're only hurting future Joe. All
right. The BBC has two people of color, actors of color.
They've only had two, like, in the history of the show. And we're in Tibet. So, like, you know, where do you think this is headed?
There's a bunch of white people with Fu Manchu mustaches. That's what it is. Okay, I don't know what's worse. Because, like, some of them are just like, I'm just going to do this like I normally would.
Oh, and some of them try to be like...
Really... stereotypically doing like voices and stuff.
It's bad all around. Yeah.
They're like speaking softer and lyrically-ish. I don't know. It's unfortunate. But yeah, they show up. They consist of Cree Song. He's kind of like the leader, I guess.
He's not the leader. He's like the warrior. He's the leader of the warriors. Fighty ones.
He also like flip-flops so much on whose side he's on, it seems like. Because he's like, I don't trust these strangers. And then I trust these strangers, but no one else trusts these strangers. It flip-flops a lot, but at this point, I believe he's on the side of not trusting the doctor, but then eventually it's going to flip-flop. But there's Chris Song, there's Tomney.
He's cute.
Yeah, he sort of becomes, like, buddies with Victoria later on, and there's one other main
There's the abbot.
Yeah, I don't think he's in this scene, though, but we'll get to the abbot eventually. His name's Songston, which we have Chris Song and Songston. Did Stephen Moffat write this episode? I don't remember the other guy's name. It's sort of like Raphael, but it's not Raphael. It's like Rapscallion. I don't remember.
I don't think that's his name.
It's a long name that begins with R, and he's sort of the guard.
I don't remember him.
He sort of teams up with Travers later.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, they all show up, and they're like, what are you doing here? I don't remember what the doctor says, but Travers shows up, sees the fur coat on the doctor, and like, oh, a Yeti didn't attack my friend and kill my friend. It was you.
You did.
Why? I don't know. And so
he thinks he's a newspaper. He's a journalist, and he's there to like steal his story.
Right. Oh yeah.
And why he killed his friend, it still doesn't really make sense. He's like, because for headlines. And the doctor's like, what? It doesn't even make sense.
Really doesn't. He's another character who flip-flops, Travers. I don't know if it's that believably either. Like,
no.
It's just like, suddenly they're nice. I don't know. Because I was like, this guy's a dick. And then later on, he's just like, I'm part of the team now. And it's like, when did this happen? Did I miss something?
I mean, he does, like, become convinced that, okay, the doctor didn't do it.
Right.
And he's helping out, so I'm going to help him. But it is very sudden and unbelievable.
So the monks sort of arrest the doctor, I guess. They put him in a cell because monks have cells, I guess, in monasteries.
Yeah. I think.
Monks keep prisoners? That doesn't seem very monk-like.
You'd have to ask a monk.
I mean, I guess they have warriors and stuff, too, so I don't know. I don't know how this all works. To be fair, I don't think the BBC does either.
Right.
Casting tons of white people. Anyway, after this happens, we go see back to Jamie and Victoria and exploring, and they find a cave. Victoria's like, let's go exploring. And Jamie's like, no, we're going back.
This scene is so ridiculous. Because within, like, the span of 5 seconds, it totally flips. And, like, Jamie's like, wait, I saw something in the cave. Let's go into the cave. And Victoria's like, no, we should go back. That's it. That's all that's changed, is Jamie saw, like, a plank of wood in the cave, and they both totally flipped what it was that they wanted to do.
Jamie's like, I don't want to explore, but wait, I see something, I want to explore. Victoria's like, I want to explore, then see something, and she's like, I don't know about this. Yeah, it flip-flops very
and
quickly.
And it's not even like they saw something dangerous? And no. Victoria's like, oh, I was having fun, but now this is dangerous, we should go back. It's
they
literally
don't even know what it is.
Like a plank of wood. It's just like, oh, there might be something in this cave.
Also, welcome back, caves.
We've missed you.
There's always cave shit. Yeah, back at the doctor's in his cell, playing his recorder, trying to figure out how to escape. This is when Travers sort of, like, confronts him with, like, his reasoning why he thinks he did it. And also explains that he's, you know, he's been searching for Bigfoot for 20 years. He mentions, like, the fact that, yeah, like, you probably killed him because, like, whatever, and you're trying to make a story and blah, 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 blah. He's also like, you probably just make a story about how I'm crazy chasing this thing. And his logic doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's very confusing.
And the doctor tries to tell him this. He's like, listen, I'm not even strong enough to have killed your friend, right?
All right. He's like, look at that, for that gun. I couldn't have done that. I am not strong enough to be your man. That's a joke.
Oh, is it?
There's a song. Are you strong enough to be my man?
Okay, yeah, so it's a joke. I get it.
My joke did not land. Moving on. And the monks, meanwhile, are discussing what they're going to do with the doctor. And they know about the Yeti.
They're talking about the Yetis. And they say, you know what, the Yetis have never been violent before. They say that. Which, now that I'm thinking about it, doesn't make any sense. But they say they've never been violent before. And now, all of a sudden, they're turning on us. They're attacking people. And there's this stranger who's just here. And obviously, when a stranger just sort of shows up and it's the doctor, it's their fault.
So they're like, we're going to leave him out to be attacked by the Yeti. Well, either he'll attack him or he won't attack him, but we'll know what's happening.
We'll know if he's controlling them, they won't attack him. And if he's not controlling them and he's innocent, they'll kill him.
Or they'll save him from being killed, hopefully.
They're like, we'll try.
We'll try. We'll see.
We might be able to save you. And he's like, if I'm innocent, you might be able to... This is a terrible...
Terrible test. Back at the cave, Jamie finds a pyramid of spheres. This giant, like, metal spheres.
Metal spheres. Not in a pyramid. That's a pyramid of spheres.
I was like, beware of a dude who likes stealing babies. That might be his personal stash of crystal balls. That's a labyrinth joke.
That was kind of a stretch.
It was a stretch.
You're a little bit off your game today.
Says exposition actors of color. I
could leave.
So anyway, Jamie takes one of the sphere balls. Sphere balls? Sphere balls. Takes one and is walking away and bumps into a Yeti.
Guys, the Yeti's so cute.
And he holds up his sword to attack it, and
the episode ends.
The Yeti breaks the sword and then goes to attack Jamie. That's the end of the episode. We didn't really get a good look at the Yeti in this episode because it does not exist.
But we know that they're cute. They're so cute. They're like little fuzzy chicken nuggets.
They look kind of like Grimace from McDonald's.
You want to hug them.
They remind me of that, and they remind me of...
like chicken feet. They're like Grimace, if he had chicken feet.
They don't have a face.
And was fuzzy. They don't have a face. They're just little fuzzy chicken
nuggets. They also remind me of that one Muppet. I don't know his name.
The big one?
The big one.
I don't know the big one's name.
The one that's like chasing after the car at the end of the
Muppet movie. He eats a dog.
No. He doesn't eat things.
Yeah, he ate a dog.
Did he eat a dog?
In the Muppets. In the TV show, he ate a dog.
Well, there's that one guy that eats things, but I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the other one.
Which one?
The one that's in the Muppet movie that's, like, chasing after the car. Like, wait for me! That guy. Not the one with, like, the giant mouth. It's like, rah, 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 rah.
You do like the one with the giant mouth. I don't know which one. I don't know his name.
But you know which one I'm talking about,
yeah,
now, right?
Yeah, I do.
Sort of like Hagrid-looking guy. Which is actually how I imagined Hagrid when I read the books. Was that Muppet.
Episode
anyway.
Episode 2.
I have two titles for this. One is better than the other. It's Big Feet and Test of Innocence.
I told these people that the titles got better.
Yeah, you lied. This episode exists, by the way. Woohoo! So in order to get away from the Yeti, Jamie causes a cave-in of styrofoam.
Yeah, that board that, like, they looked at, he was just like, I'm just gonna knock it over.
Tons of styrofoam rocks crush the Yeti.
But it's not dead.
Also, you wrote down, Jamie found the Dragon Balls.
Yeah, well, he had the spheres, and I think they started glowing or something.
I think maybe he didn't take one in the last episode, but he took it now.
He takes one.
But yeah, anyway, the Yeti is not dead. Its arm starts moving, and it starts getting out. So Jamie and Victoria get out of there. And meanwhile, back in the monastery, Tomney is kind of prepping the doctor on what's about to happen to him. And
he has really great sleeves. Just thought we should note it. They're amazing.
They're cool.
Kind of pointy. And, like, loopy?
Arm sleeves, by the way.
Yes.
I like leg sleeves.
Leg sleeves? What's a leg sleeve?
It's like a pant sleeve. That's a word.
Pant sleeve, maybe. Maybe.
Not leg sleeve?
But not leg sleeve.
Arm sleeve isn't one either. Shirt sleeve is what you would say. Anyway, Tomney and the doctor are talking. He mentions that he'd been there before. He doesn't say it's 1630, but it's implied because someone took the Hulliganta in 1630 and it's been missing for like 300 years. The doctor's like, oh shit, that was me. I took that thing. Oops, I'm really late at getting it back. Because he's supposed to like take care of it, I guess, during some sort of thing.
Something bad happened? Yeah.
It's not
ever explained.
But
don't worry about it.
The doctor's like, well, I'm gonna give you something and it's gonna like clear me. But before he has a chance to do that, the rest of the monks come in to take him to the gate where they're gonna leave him out as bait. Gate bait.
Gate bait.
Anyways, like while he's being dragged, he's like, look in the hay. There's look in that hay that's over there. So Tomney does, and after everybody's left, well, he starts to leave, he's like, wait a minute, I should go check that out. And then he goes back in the room, digs around the hay, finds the Ganta. And so he's going to take that to the proper authorities.
The abbot.
Who is Songston?
There's a loud voice thing that is talking to him. And he's really excited because he's like, oh, that means the doctor's here. Awesome.
This, like, loud voice. Very soft-spoken and slow as fuck.
Oh my god, so slow. It speaks so slowly. Can you do it?
No, I don't think I can. He speaks very slowly and softly, like that. Thankfully, this episode exists. When it doesn't, it's very lulling. Makes you want to sleep. He has a name, which we learn eventually at some point, and I don't want to try to pronounce. I think it's Padmasambhava. Something like that.
To be fair,
Padmasambhava.
Jamie didn't even try.
He said Padmasambhava thing.
He only has to say, like, once in the episode, and he literally just says, Padma's thing, and just stops, and that's it.
I don't even know if that was a joke, either. I think it was just the actor being like, I don't know how to fucking say that. Because the doctor doesn't acknowledge it, and he continues to say
he says it perfectly, but it's a friend of his.
I think it's Padmasambhava.
I think you're saying it right.
The abbot and Tomney and this mysterious Padmasambhava.
Who's referred to, by the way, as the Master.
The Master.
Which is, like, the second time we've had a character referred to as the Master, and we've just been sitting there like,
when's that coming?
When we get that? When does that become a proper thing in Doctor Who?
But Padmasambhava and all, and Tommy and the Abbot Songston are all in this inner sanctum where people are not allowed to go to. I shouldn't mention.
Only the Abbot is supposed to be in there.
My next note says, this test of innocence is stupid, because it is.
It's a terrible test.
It's like, if he gets attacked, that means that he was telling the truth, but you get attacked. If he doesn't get attacked, that means he's controlling the Yeti, and blah, blah. But what, I don't know. It's just really complicated, and it's stupid. There's got to be a better way than just leaving him out
Which
on the gate.
The doctor agrees with.
I like your note there. If the doctor weighs less than a duck... Anyway, Jamie and Victoria have gotten away from the Yeti.
They bump into Travers. They mention the doctor, and they're looking for the doctor, and he's like, oh, you're friends with the doctor. You're just newspapermen, too, and you're just trying to, like, ruin me, and I don't care for you. And then they're like, we've seen the Yeti, and he's like, really? Where? Will you take me there? Will you show me where?
Like, well, first you gotta take us to the monastery, because we want to see the doctor. And he's like, okay. So he's going to take him back to the monastery. Your next note is Songston has a sweet hat.
He does have a sweet hat. It's a legit thing. It's not just something that the BBC made up. I Google image searched Buddhist monks and there was a picture of him all wearing that sweet hat.
It's kind of like a boat. Padmasambhava orders the release of the doctor because he's happy to see the doctor for whatever reason. He's brought back the Ganta. Let him go. The abbot sort of hypnotizes?
It's hypnotism.
Tommy. Yeah, he hypnotizes Tommy to be like, go and tell them to release him, that he brought the Ganta, but you do not remember anything that happened here. You do not remember this voice. This voice did not happen. You did not hear any of this. Goodbye. So the kid leaves, shuts the door very slowly. Like, takes him forever to get out of the room, shut the door, and both Tommy are like, you have a thing to do. You have to go save the doctor, and you're being so slow.
Well, and they were really slow about telling him to do it. Yeah. It's like, make sure, go get the doctor, stop him from being killed, and also do this, and also, if you could, like, pick up some milk on your way. Like, they just have, like, a list of things, and the voice is talking super slowly, and you're like, this is kind of immediate. The doctor's being, like, tied up on the gate right this very second. You should hurry. Speed is kind of the essence.
Which this episode doesn't seem to care about.
No.
At all.
No.
This entire serial, rather. It's so slow.
It's a six-parter.
That does not need to be a six-parter.
I haven't really, really sat through a six-parter yet. Maybe one. Where I was like, yeah, we needed all of that.
Like, The Evil of the Daleks was the closest, I feel like. But, so Tommy leaves, shuts the door, and it's taking him forever, and he stops for a second, and he shakes his head, and he's like, huh, oh, I need to go do that thing. He's forgetting stuff. Because he's hypnotized. We go back into the inner sanctum, and suddenly Padmasambhava has turned into Voldemort for no reason. So instead of speaking slow and softly, he's still speaking slow and softly, but also hissing at the same time.
Yes.
I'm talking slowly. I don't even remember what he said, because he's just talking so slowly I can't focus on it. And then they do this weird thing where the camera like goes into where he's at, and just everything kind of goes white, and it was more just confusing. I was like, this is a very ineffective effect. Oh, another part of the test was if someone came to save him, it would be bad. So then Jamie and Victoria start running, and the doctor's like, no, leave. No one's supposed to help me or whatever. Because you see him go, no! And you think, oh no, the Yetis are coming, but it's Jamie and Victoria.
Yes.
But not that it even matters. They're like, oh, you're bad. These people came to save you. You're bad.
Well, then they're going to arrest them too.
And Travers, maybe, because Travers is with them. But Tommy shows up, and he's like, no, the master and the abbot, Well, I think it just says the abbot. The abbot's like...
The abbot says you have to let them go.
He brought us back the Ganta, and he's a good dude. This is when Travers, like, completely swaps. And he's like, usually the Yeti are kind of shy and elusive. And he's just, like, hanging out with them, talking about the Yeti and what he's... He's like, yeah, I mean, them attacking and stuff doesn't seem normal because I haven't found them.
I'm tracking them. They're hard to find.
And now they're just out and attacking. I don't know. That's weird. And then we see the Yeti. They're just sort of hanging out near the monastery.
We have like a page full of notes that we took together. The next like four of them are all just like, I love them. The Yeti. I love them. Little fuzzy chicken nuggets. I love them so much.
Fluffy! Then we get this comedy scene, I guess, where Jamie's like, I have an idea of how to handle these Yetis. And the doctor's like, Jamie has an idea. We better get out of here before things go bad. Let's leave.
That was so rude. Jamie's done nothing to warrant that.
He hasn't. Call me a taters, man. So the fuzzy chicken nuggets attack.
I love them so much. They're so cute.
It's just one of them comes down and attacks.
Yeah, they're like, that's weird.
There's like three of them.
The rest of them are just staying back there, which there's no reason for this. Except for that it's easier to take just the one.
We eventually find out that they're under control.
So. Sure, but if you're controlling Fuzzy Chicken Nugget robots, because that's what we find out, you guys, in this scene.
Well, not in this scene, because they catch one.
They catch one.
But they wind up killing it. It's dead.
Yeah.
Or so they think. And Tony was very sad at this.
I really was.
And so they catch one, and the other two just sort of leave. They peace out. And they're like, that's weird.
It's weird that the other two just stood there while, like, the one came up to attack. That's weird.
It's not weird that it left, though, because, hey, you just killed their friend. Of course they're going to leave. They don't want that happening to them, too. And anyways, they take the thing inside, and we see the camera pans down to the ground, and there's a sphere.
Little boop boop sphere.
In the mud, and it's wobbling.
I say boop boop sphere because that's what it does.
And Jamie beep, beep, beep. Has a sphere too, which he leaves at the foot of the Buddha,
statue. Yeah.
The Buddha statue. So there's two spheres going on here, you guys. Keep up. And then the doctor's studying the body, and he's like, it's not like a living creature thing. It's metal. It's
Victoria
made of metal.
Victoria says something.
No, she figures out how it works later.
I thought she said, you know, it's not, the doctor's like, you're right, Victoria, it's not flesh and blood. It's metal.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I thought you were talking about the thing that happened later.
Which means the Yeti are fluffy robots!
Fluffy robots!
They're robots that are also fluffy. They're little robotic fluffy chicken nuggets, and I love them.
So they lift up this front flap, like flap of fur, and there's a big old hole in the center of the Yeti's chest. And they're like, what's this hole for? That's weird. And then, like, it takes them too long to figure this out. It's where the fucking sphere goes.
Yeah. It is, like, a big, like, I think Jamie eventually is like, you think?
No, it's Victoria.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it's Victoria. Victoria's like, you think? It's shaped like a sphere.
Maybe a sphere goes in.
And the doctor's like, no, I thought about that. Unless... And he doesn't say, unless this very, like, he just says, unless trails off and goes to find the sphere. Which means he didn't think about that. Victoria thought about it first, and the doctor's just saving face. And we all know this.
That happens next episode. That's how long it takes him to figure this out. Like, I figured it out, like, immediately. Anyway, he's like, look at this hole. And then we cut to, like, I can't remember if it's the sphere at the feet or the sphere
in the
mud.
I think it is the sphere
at
the feet. It's moving. It's going beep. And it moves.
And that's the end of episode 2. We're now into episode 3, The Music of the Spheres, which is already a Doctor Who episode.
I titled this one Fluffy Robot, which I think is an immensely better title. Fluffy Robot.
All right, the sphere whistles.
The monks say, until we figure out what's going on with the Yetis and the robots and the what have yous, everyone has to stay here.
And Travers is wanting to go find more the Yetis, the other Yetis. And he's like, well, since my dreams have been dashed, I'm just going to go to bed.
Well, it's not that he can't go find them. It's that they might not be real.
Right.
Like, he has proof in front of him that they're robots. And he's like, well, I'm just going to go to bed, I guess. Like, he's not, he doesn't, I feel like I'd be more upset about that.
Well, he does say, like, I want to find real Yetis. I don't think these are the real Yetis. I think there are
real
Yetis.
So he's still
Yetis.
Convinced that there are real ones.
And these are not them.
Okay.
But then this is when Victoria figures out the thing about the spheres. And they go to, like, get the sphere. And it's not there anymore. Because it moved. And,
which they're like, oh, where did you put it? I think I put it here. Well, who could have taken it? And they're like, because it certainly didn't move on its own. And that's when you're like, ah, but dang, because we saw it, because we're the audience, and we know things that you don't. Ha, dramatic irony.
And they think that Travers took the sphere.
Because...
he's a Yeti hunter, maybe? I don't remember.
Well, he left. He tricked one of, like, the guards. He was like, he just went up to one of the guards and was like, the abbot totally said I could leave. And the guard was like, okay.
Wait, who? What? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Travers?
Travers.
That doesn't happen.
He sneaks out.
Does it?
Maybe not happens yet, but yeah, it happens.
I don't remember that.
I mean, like, you don't see it happen. They just go to talk to the guard later, and they're like, oh, Travers? Yeah, he said he had permission to leave, so I let him leave.
Okay.
And that's why they think he has the sphere, because he's not there. So they're like, maybe he's part of it.
Okay, sure.
It happens, man. We watched it.
Yeah, but... this is a six-parter. There's a couple of the monks talking over the body of the Yeti about how it could be from the devil.
Do Buddhists believe in the devil? Is that a thing? Google that shit.
We don't know a lot, you guys.
Guys, we're really dumb. Yeah. No, just Google it, and we can act like we knew it the whole time.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
I was under the impression that that was a Christian thing.
Evil is personified in Mara, the Buddhist devil. So, Chrisong is like, I want to protect the abbot. I think we should fight these Yetis and blah, blah, blah. And the abbot is like...
so much. And blah, blah, blah.
No, it's because stuff blah, blah, blahs. The abbot's like, nah, I'm gonna pray. Basically, he's talking to the master. I don't see his name anymore, so I can't pronounce it.
The master. That was fine.
And then he's like, I'm gonna go to the inner sanctum and figure shit out. And Victoria's like, what's in the inner sanctum?
What's in the inner sanctum that's so important? How come you can't go in there? I wanna go in there.
And Tommy's like, you can't go in there. It's not allowed.
So? I'm gonna do it anyway. I see no reason to respect your beliefs.
Or your privacy.
I'm just gonna go.
I mean, sure, shit's going down in there, but hey, don't do that. That's rude. It's rude, Victoria.
It's really rude.
It's rude as hell.
It's rude as hell.
The Doctor and Jamie are both like, we must find the spheres. Chrisson's like, no, you guys shouldn't do it. I'll do it. Like, desperately trying to have a plot in this series.
He just wants something to do, you guys.
And he keeps getting shut down left and right. I want to fight the Eddies. Nah, let me talk about it. I want to find the spheres. Let me do something. And then we get a shot of Yeti chess.
It's just little Yetis.
On a board.
Being pushed around.
By a hand with very long fingernails. And you don't know what it's about yet. But I mean, you can sort of figure like somebody's controlling the robots. So this chess board is controlling
It's not actually a chess board, it's like a map of where they are.
I called it Yeti chess. But Victoria keeps trying to break in. Like, every time it cuts back, she's like, oh, I was just going to the bathroom.
Got lost.
What's going on? But every time she's trying to break into that inner sanctum, and someone's, like, catching her every single time. It happens more than it should have.
Yes.
The abbot is back in the inner sanctum talking to the voice, and, like, should we ask the doctor for help? The voice is like, nah. Because he's controlling the Yeti. He doesn't want to attack the Yeti.
He's like, basically, like, the doctor is cool. Like, he's my friend and he's cool. But he might not understand what we're doing here. He's like, he has, like, really strict morals. He might not understand what we're trying to accomplish. And he might try to, like, mess it up. So, right. Like, don't do anything to him. But don't let him know what's going on either. Which seems, like, really complicated. But it makes sense. I promise. It seems like a really complicated motivational thing of like, nah, he's cool. I like him. But like, he's going to mess up my plan. So like, don't let him. But it makes sense. It all makes sense.
Now imagine that said three times slower. And that's the scene. Chrisson goes out to where they captured the Yeti and finds the sphere in the mud. And he like picks it up. And then a Yeti just shows up and like, fuck you, that's mine. And like, they get into a fight and the Yeti takes the sphere and goes.
This is when we cut back to the inner sanctum and we get the name of the voice for the first time.
Which is the Great Intelligence.
The Great Intelligence. Which we know things about.
Barely.
Kind of.
I don't remember that episode very well, to be honest.
It's Snow? That's sad?
It was like copying Richard E. Grant's character. I remember that. And that, it doesn't really tie in very well with what's happening here. I don't.
Well, there are snowmen.
And they're abominable. That doesn't feel this like the same character. But the Great Intelligence gives this thing to the abbot, this pyramid, which he's going to take to the Yetis, right?
Yes.
Songston's kind of being under the control of the Great Intelligence. But the Doctor and Jamie are like, we should track these spheres.
Because I believe they figured out that they can move on their own.
Right. And, like, this will lead us to, like, where shit's going down, basically.
And they're going to use the TARDIS. The Doctor has stuff in the TARDIS that he can use to track them.
Then some, like, stuff goes on.
Then some things happen!
Well, I was going to say, like, things start happening and, like, everybody's sort of running around trying to figure out what to do, which results in Victoria being left alone. And she's like,
spoilers. All right. She tries to go into the inner sanctum.
And gets caught. Again. Stop. Meanwhile, Travers is doing what he does, just tracking a Yeti. He's basically going to wind up at that cave where Jamie and Victoria were earlier.
And the abbot is also headed.
He's hypnotizing people on his way out so they don't remember that he left. Then he's eventually going to wind up there too. Before that happens, though, we get a scene where Tomney is like really kind of mad at Victoria about being an absolute shithead.
Like, really? Come on, I told you no. You were like, okay. I caught you once. I said, hey, really, please don't do that. And you were like, okay. Now here, I'm going to get in trouble because I'm technically guarding you. Like, come on, man. Cut me some slack.
And then they talk a bit. And then eventually he's like, I'm sorry I got mad. Would you like some food? Well, she's like, I'm sorry I went. And then he's like, I'm sorry I got mad. Would you like some food? And she's like, yes, go get me some food.
take a long time.
She leaves to go get her food, and guess what she fucking does? She goes to the inner sanctum, you guys. She goes to the inner sanctum and starts talking to the great intelligence.
And the great intelligence is kind of like, you shouldn't be in here. It'll kind of make them mad. Like, I don't care. We're fine. It's fine. But, like, the monks will be kind of mad. That's really all the information you get from that scene.
But meanwhile, the abbot shows up with the Yetis, uses the pyramid to sort of control them, and they start following him, and they're going towards the cave. Like, meanwhile, back in the monastery, the ball, the sphere, it gets back into the dead Yeti.
And the Yeti wakes up, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, Tommy finds Victoria getting mad at her, and they leave, and then she finds Yeti.
The Yeti. Oh, I think she's hiding.
I don't remember exactly how it happens, but she finds the Yeti, and it wakes up. It wakes up. Like, oh, shit, Yeti. That's the end of episode 3, and we're now into episode 4. Yeti, another episode.
I just did say they eventually got better. I thought that one was good.
Tommy defends Victoria and attacks the Yeti.
And eventually all the other monks
are also... They're shooting the Yeti with arrows.
Yeah, I know. Little chicken nugget.
Doesn't slow them down though, because they're fucking robots.
Arrows don't hurt robots.
Meanwhile,
they might hurt their feelings.
The doctor and Jamie are on their way to the TARDIS, and the doctor's like, we ain't seen jack shit on the way here. It's a little quiet, a little too quiet. And Jamie's like, can you stop freaking me out? Jesus. Can't even enjoy a pleasant stroll with you, doctor. Without you bringing up some creepy shit. God.
So the abbot's there with the Yetis doing stuff.
Travers sees this from a distance. So he's like, what's going on?
JB and the doctor are almost to the TARDIS.
And there's a Yeti there. Just standing there. Not really doing nothing. And
then we get a weird scene.
Oh yeah. The master character with the long name is talking about how he cannot wait for the Great Intelligence plan to be finished, or to start, rather, so that he can get some rest. He's very tired. He's been alive for a while, is what the implication is. And this thing's been sort of controlling him for a while. And it only gets more fucked up from here. But that's just the beginning of it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what's going on here? So the doctor and Jamie are like...
Jamie's like, what's your plan, doctor? Do you have a plan? And the doctor's like, I'm gonna throw a rock at it.
He literally says, I'm gonna bung a rock at it.
Jamie's like, great, great.
He's like, that's what? No, don't. And then he does. He's like, nothing happened. Good.
Now I'm gonna go up to it, poke at it. Jamie's like, please don't. Are you sure? Like, he's like, it's off. It can't see or hear us. It's resting. And Jamie's like, are you sure? And he's like, no.
But the only one way to find out.
Won't know until we try it.
Poke it with a screwdriver, which he does.
Which, too, has had a screwdriver.
And I feel like nearly every...
Yeah, quite handy for a while now. So it's only a matter of time before he thinks to upgrade it.
And he takes the sphere out of the chest of the Yeti. And back at the cave, Travers has sort of entered the cave after the abbot's left. And the pyramid of spheres is glowing. And it's making this very loud, annoying noise.
I think he gets hypnotized?
Something. He freaks out, definitely. I think he, like, passes out for a second and then gets up and gets out.
Because, like, once this happens, he can't, like, remember everything that happened.
Right. Even though that doesn't really have any effect. Well, oh, it makes him forget that he saw Songston. But yeah, he gets out of there, but, like, shit happens to him. Oh, we forgot to say that the doctor says, I'm really rather pleased with myself.
Oh, yeah, because... Jamie's like, if a person who made these robots is super clever, why would they make it so easy? Like, we just walked up to this thing and disarmed it, because they take the sphere out. He's like, we just disarmed it super easily. And he's like, well, probably nobody else would think to just walk up to it like I thought. I really am quite pleased with myself. I'm so clever.
The doctor. I love him.
He's an idiot.
But then the sphere's like, oh, wait, no, I want to be back in that hole. And starts trying to, like, get back. And it's, like, jerking the doctor around. And the doctor's, like, trying not to let it get there. And Jamie picks up a rock and puts it in the hole, which effectively disables it.
The sphere's like, oh, I can't get in now.
I think the sphere just tries to, like, go somewhere else, right? Or it starts making a noise.
It's sending out a different signal. Which the doctor says so. It's still making the exact same sound it's been making the whole time. But the doctor's like, that's a different signal. And you're like, okay.
But the Yeti hears it and starts coming for it, basically. It hears those sick beats.
Because it's a really pleasant beeping sound. I like it a lot.
Meanwhile, Victoria has been blamed for awakening the Yeti. They think she did it because she's a she-devil or whatever.
They call her she-devil, like, multiple times. It's very rude. Although, to be honest, she did bring it on herself a little bit. I mean, she-devil's kind of a strong word. Whoa.
Sorry.
I'm just saying she hasn't been the nicest either. Mistakes were made on both sides.
She gets sort of put in the cell or whatever, and then she basically tells Tomney that the doctor is a time traveler and all that, and what's going on. I don't remember why she tells him.
They're talking about the bell.
The bell, the Ganta.
They're talking about that, and she's like, oh. She's like, what's the story, what's the deal with the bell anyway? And it's like, how many, 300 years ago?
300 years
300 ago. Years ago, it was given to somebody for, like, safekeeping. And she's like, oh, that'd be the doctor then.
We travel in time in a box. And he's just like, yeah, okay. She's like, you don't find that odd at all? And he's like, our religion, we can probably do that. She's like, you can? Probably. Maybe.
Like astral projection. And
which sets up something that happens later.
Yes, it does. That's an important bit of information.
I wonder how much of this is sort of offensive. Plot-wise, I don't know. I mean, you got the baseline of
white people playing non-white people.
So I'm sure they're probably fucking some shit up along the way in regards to this
religion. I do feel like I need to properly research things now just so that this isn't like, if you don't, you like, the impressions that you have is formed by like misinformed things. And even though you're like, that's probably not right, but I don't know. I don't know things. I never learn.
So hey, Doctor Who makes us want to learn things. That's not bad. Even if it is to just figure out how bad they're being, the bad Doctor Who's being. So the Doctor and Jamie get surrounded by Yetis and we get the Doctor's catchphrase. He says the, when I say run. Which he said every serial since Evil of the Daleks.
I love it.
I do too.
It's the most Doctor Who thing to me.
And so the Yeti are chasing him. And then he's like, I got a plan. I know what I'm doing.
I hope.
Which his plan is, I'm going to throw the sphere and maybe they will follow it. And but not that us.
Seems to be what they want.
And it works.
In the meantime, Victoria's in this prison because she can't be trusted not to go where she's supposed to. She can't be trusted not to go where she's not supposed to. Right?
I think you worded that correctly.
it's so hot today.
They bring her some water, and she drinks the water, and she's like, oh, and then falls over and because she's been poisoned. And they take her body out of the jail cell, set her down.
And then she runs away.
Well, she doesn't immediately run away. She waits till people leave, and then she's like,
she's faking it.
She's a little shit, isn't she?
I love her.
This I'm okay with. But don't break into private
area. They also call her Devil Woman here when they realize that she's gone two more times.
So Chris Song's wanting the Doctor's help with all this shit that's going down because the Doctor's showed back up and he's like, we need your help dealing with these Yetis. But Songston's like, we all need to leave. Basically, the Master told him everyone here needs to leave.
We need to get them all out of here so that we can do our plan. Which, it's episode 4 and they're still just being like, we need to do our plan. Our plan that we have. Is gonna get done.
No one wants to leave because, like, this is their home. And so they're not gonna leave. They're gonna stay. And then, like, the voice, or the great intelligence, is like, if they won't be led, they must be driven.
So they're gonna chase him out with the Yetis. Victoria has escaped. So where do you think she goes?
She goes to the Inner Sanctum. Because she's a shit. And then she goes in there. And we get to see the Master. The dude that the great intelligence is...
He's controlling.
For the first time, he's like this old, really old guy.
The makeup was actually kind of good. It was really unsettling. There's a lot about the serial that had, like, this stuff been explored. This would have been a really intense, unsettling serial. There's some dark shit in this. All of it's wrapped around this Master character.
The great intelligence.
But he's got this, like, old makeup that's just unnerving.
The skin kind of looks like it's falling off in places.
Yeah. He tells Victoria to, like, you might as well come in here now, because you have no... He actually sped that up a whole lot.
I did. And that's it. That's it. How this episode ends it with takes this creepy threat.
8 whole days to say alternative. But then what's great is in episode 5, where they like play it again, he says, you have no alternative.
He does. He says it super fast.
And the reshoot.
That's how you should have said it last time.
You should have taken 8 days to say alternative
rock. And now we're in episode 5. The Curse of the Great Intelligence.
That one's pretty weak.
No, they don't get better. You just had, like, one decent one.
Yet another episode. I'm trying to think on how they would actually have named them. They're not all jokes.
They should all be jokes.
Well, sometimes I can't think of jokes. So he's like, would you like to see my Yeti chest? And shows her his board of Yetis. And he's like moving around. And the Yetis enter the monastery. No one really notices because everybody's in this room with Travers who's, you know, he's gotten back to the monastery and he's freaked out.
I feel like he can't really remember why.
Yeah, he doesn't remember anything. He remembers going in. He remembers seeing the light of the spheres and something. He doesn't remember anything else. And he wakes up like three different times and every single time he like can't remember what just happened until finally he's like, I'm fine now, but I don't remember anything. Because like, it's like, I don't, And then he's like, I don't remember. And then he's like, hey, what's up? Where was I? I don't remember anything. That's the progression of Travers.
He just had to sleep it off.
The Yetis start attacking, and they pull a statue down on a dude.
They pull the Buddha statue down.
Was it the Buddha statue? Yeah. I thought it was a different statue.
Oh, there's only been one statue in the whole serial.
All right, they pull the Buddha down on the guy. I thought it was a different statue.
No, it was not.
I don't even know who that is, who got killed by the statue. I know, like, Chris Song feels, like, really bad, like he's failed.
I think it's just one of his men.
And he's like, I'm doing a real shit job of being a warrior here. I've done nothing this serial. Like, I've barely made notes about him, because he doesn't really do much. Yeah. Just sort of goes around being mopey. But the Great Intelligence hypnotizes Victoria and gives her a mission and gives her the Ganta. And then she walks into where everyone's at. The Great Intelligence starts talking through Victoria, telling them, you need to leave. Everyone here needs to leave. And then they're like, what do we do? Should we leave? Let's talk about it some more. Because it's what they do. They discuss things. The doctor and Jamie try to talk to Victoria, but she just starts saying the same thing on a loop anytime the doctor says anything.
Anytime the doctor tries to talk to her at all, she's like, it's dangerous here. We have to go.
Take me away. And then she says it again, and then the doctor starts whispering to Jamie about how that voice is the same person he heard 300 years ago when he was here last time. And then Jamie's like, why are we whispering? He's like, because if she hears me, she'll start repeating herself
again.
I'm triggering it. And I'm like, you're whispering now as well as talking slowly. Do you want me to fall asleep? We took a nap after this episode.
We did take a nap. Guys, if you have the, like, Patreon thing where you can watch us watching the episodes, you can see me fall asleep, like, a couple of times. Like my head starts to bob and I'm like, right. I'm paying attention.
We're watching a thing.
Like, once. And it's normally when the voice is talking, because it's just so, like,
slow.
What's the word I'm thinking of? Lull? Like a lullaby. That makes you just sort of want to drift off.
The doctor goes to talk to the Great Intelligence. And this is when we find out, like, the guy who's being possessed by the Great Intelligence really wants to die, you guys. I've been alive for 300 years. I'd like to die. But the doctor comes in and he's like, I haven't seen that face in 300 years. And I'm like, you saw that face? You saw two? Two was here? When has he had a chance to get away from Jamie and Victoria or any of his companions? When did this happen? I could maybe see him having seen the first doctor. I don't entirely understand how, when the doctor got away long enough for this 300 years ago thing to happen, specifically the second doctor.
Well, the doctor didn't have Jamie for a while. Mm. It could have been him and Ben and Polly.
That's true.
So yeah, it was probably two and Ben and Polly.
All right.
There you go. Solved it.
Thank you. He proceeds to explain everything, which is, he did the astral projection thing, went up into space, basically, and got space-jacked by the Great Intelligence.
Which is, like, a thing. I used to, like, Google astral projection a lot. It's a thing that I used to read about on the internet a lot. And, like, one of the things will say, like, you need to be careful and, like, set up shields and stuff. Or, like, if you're not practiced at it, you shouldn't do it because you can bring back something with you. And I remember reading about, like, I was, like, gonna try and do it, and I remember reading about it and being like, nope, not messing with that.
You could have been hijacked by the Great Intelligence.
Right.
But then you would have met the doctor.
That's true. That's the kind of stuff I used to read a lot when I was, like, a teenager.
So basically, this Great Intelligence has been using his body for 300 years. It's just like an experiment.
But that's why I said when it's weird that, like, he's like, no, he's a friend. But, like, don't let him get involved in, like, the plan at all. Because he's still there.
He basically wants the doctor to help. But the Great Intelligence doesn't want the doctor there, basically. It's like a conflicting thing there, because he's like, doctor can help me, because he met the doctor before he was...
The Great Intelligence.
Great Intelligence, right. And then you think he dies for a second, and then the doctor leaves, and he's not dead, and he looks really angry. I don't know, it was a little weird. It was an intense scene. Slow, but intense. Like, it was weird, because it's like making me sleepy because of how slow it was moving, but it's also really interesting at the same time. I feel like it would have been a lot better if it existed and I could watch it instead of just listen to it. Meanwhile, Jamie breaks a chair next to Victoria trying to get a reaction from her. And she doesn't do anything. And then the doctor comes in like, what the fuck are you doing? And then she's like, doctor, you have to take me away. Take me away, doctor.
She's an NPC. She only has the one response.
And so the doctor's like, all right, let's do a thing. Let's fix Victoria here. And he's like trying to tell her, hey, we're gone now. We went away. We're safe in the TARDIS.
He re-hypnotizes her. Which is Jamie's
un-hypnotizer. Like... Well, he's like, you're getting sleepy and blah, blah, blah. And like, not you! And Jamie's like, what? Hey!
I'm awake. Me and Jamie are the same.
This is the second time that the doctor has deprogrammed someone.
Yeah.
Well, the other one was Polly.
Which Jamie's like...
Or not Polly, Dodo. Sorry.
I didn't know you knew how to do that. And I'm actually like, yeah.
Because Jamie wasn't there. It was just Dodo.
Yeah.
And Ben and Polly were there too, but... The Great Intelligence has set up the Yeti around the monastery, and they're just waiting to come in. And meanwhile, the doctor asks Travers for help. Because we forgot to mention this.
Yes.
But the doctor, when he got to the TARDIS, he came back with some stuff, which he used to sort of... He's trying to triangulate...
He's trying to track the spheres, which we did mention.
Yeah.
That's why he went there.
But we forgot to mention he came back and started setting shit up, and he's like taking readings, and he's trying to figure out where basically the signal's coming from that's controlling these Yeti.
Yes.
So he's like got 2 points, and he needs a third point to figure, like, triangulate it, basically. And he needs Driver's help to do that, which they do. And they find out that the control is in the monastery. What? What, you guys? Get out of town.
It's shocking.
Then we hit the weirdest thing happens. It sort of triggers something in Travers, and he starts to remember stuff, and he's like, the pyramid of spheres was glowing, and then some ooze came out of it. And then it cuts to that real quick, and then that's the end of the episode. It's like, ooze, done. And we're like, whoa, that was a very abrupt ending.
Really abrupt. Like, to the point where I was like,
did that episode end? Did we miss something?
Did something get cut? What was that? It was really odd. Like, it almost felt mid-sentence where he's like, yeah, and then I saw this ooze. Done. And you're like, okay, fine.
And now we're into episode...
Which, is the ooze even important?
Yeah, it's the thing that starts covering the mountain. And we're now into the last episode, episode 6.
Can I say, though, Secret we're in episode ooze. 6, and I'm still not entirely clear what the Great Intelligence plan is. They want the mountain?
I think they want to conquer the world. And they're going to set up all these Yeti people, as in like an army, just to control the world, I guess. I don't know. It's not very clear.
Because these big, fluffy robot things aren't like great weapons. I don't know. I mean, I guess they're really strong. It just seems very odd. Like, he gets rid of
the monks. He's like basically taking over this entire land.
I mean, yes, but it seems like that's all he accomplishes, is kicking the monks out of the monastery, which isn't like a big supervillain take over the world plans.
Well, it's step one.
All right.
And the Great Intelligence has plenty of time. I was going to say, exists forever.
He's been working for like 200 years. I feel like he should be past step one.
You talked over my name of this episode, by the way. Secret of the Ooze! Secret of the Ooze! Come on.
I gave it a 5 out of 10.
You're a Turtles fan. You gotta give it a 6 at least.
5.5?
11 out of 10. So the doctor realizes that Songston is the missing link here. The key to all of this. And that he must be doing something. He's like, he's probably being controlled. So Chris Song's like, I'll go save him. He wants to do something. Let me do something. But he gets to Songston, and Songston's like, I will let you talk to the master. But you can't go in there with any weapons. Give me your weapon. So Chris Hong gives him the weapon and gets stabbed.
He gets dead.
With his own weapon. And I was like, well, shit. Like, I feel bad for Chris Hong. Just because he's...
He just wanted to be helpful so bad.
And didn't do anything. He did literally nothing.
Poor thing.
I feel bad for him. Like, he's not like a bad guy or a bad character.
No, he just doesn't get to accomplish any of his goals.
He just dies. A little sad.
Your note says the voice goes weird.
Yeah, because like it does. The Great Intelligence is like, yes, nah, ha 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 ha. Oh, and he's basically like, why won't I die?
Yeah, they switch back out.
for like a moment, but then like the great intelligence takes back over because I can't believe that it's made me go to do this thing. Like it made me kill a guy basically.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that shit. But then the great intelligence sends out Songston to basically kill everybody else.
Again, he's had 200 years to work on this plan. I feel like it could be better. It could be stronger. Two out of ten for your evil plan.
See, I'm under the
slightly better than the chameleons, maybe.
I don't think he has, like, a big plan like that, necessarily. I feel like he's just been fucking around for hundreds of years, just experimenting. Because that's a big thing that he says. He's like, it's an experiment. I think it's just curious and just testing shit out, figuring things out, being fucking weird.
That makes sense. That makes more sense to me as a motivation of just, like...
curiosity, really.
If that had been, like, expressed in the serial, that'd be cool.
Well, I mean, they said the thing about experiment.
Once.
Maybe he said experiment, like, 3 times. But
I mean, it wasn't like this character's motivation wasn't like made a big deal,
right?
It was kind of like, it's bad and it's doing bad stuff, so we gotta stop it.
They capture Songston before he can kill anybody. They're like holding him down, and in his dying moments, Chris Song basically clears Songston. He's like, he's under control. It's not him. It's not the abbot,
because they're trying to kill the abbot. All the other monks.
Chris Song dives, I believe, in the doctor's arms. Then the great intelligence laughs very creepily.
Oh, it's the worst. Ugh, I didn't like it. Ugh, it was good.
There's so much that works about the great intelligence, and so much that doesn't. Sometimes at the same time.
Yeah, like, as a concept, this intelligence, this like alien intelligence that's just sort of glommed onto you and is keeping you alive for, like, a ridiculous amount of time and making you do things you don't want to do. That's terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, you said, like, there's no reason for it, but I feel like that's kind of even more terrifying, that it's just doing it for fun.
That's true. And then, like I said, there's so much there, and had that been exploited more, this could have been a really great serial. Had it been, like, delved into, like, the psychological... because, like, the Yetis don't need to be here.
No, but they're cute.
They are really cute. And I love them. I love them so much. From the bottom of my heart, I truly love them. But, like, if this had been, like, a psychological exploration of that, of, like, a alien being just sort of fucking with shit because it can, that'd be terrifying. That'd be great.
And, I mean, I feel like that's kind of what they did with the great intelligence in New Who, is they kind of did try to explore that more, but then sort of with the twist of... actually, it's the kid. It's just like he's been amplifying his own negative thoughts.
Which I always like. I always like when it turns out it's man. Always my favorite.
Turns out it's man. We referenced that in like 4 different episodes of this podcast.
Because it's my favorite.
And it's relevant so many times. He's like, okay, Songston's a puppet, but so is the master, really. He's just being controlled by this malevolent space thing. Everyone's like, I guess we should leave. But Victoria's like, I'm not gonna go. And the doctor's like, I'm not going. I must stop the evil.
No, there's something bad here, and I'm gonna stop it. That's kind of what I do now, I guess.
And he's like, I'm gonna talk to Songston. Meanwhile, Travers is like, I don't think the bad thing's really here. I think it's back in that cave, and I'm gonna go try to stop it at the cave.
Because he saw the, like...
glowy sphere thing.
Yeah.
So he leaves. The doctor starts questioning Songston, like, hypnotizes him and, like, gets all the exposition about the Yetis were made over 200 years and blah, 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 and this is what's happening, and there's a hidden control room in the Inner Sanctum that controls all the Yeti and stuff. But then Great Intelligence in his Inner Sanctum has sort of caught on to this and activates the Yetis, and they start coming. Meanwhile, Travers gets to the mountain, which has the cave, and the mountain is just covered in this ooze.
Again, I still... but what does that do, though?
You know, I don't really know. What did it do? I think it was bad.
Was it?
Probably.
Like, I don't recall this being important.
You know what it might have been? It might have been, like, the great intelligence manifesting.
Was it? Are you just saying that in a desperate attempt to make it make sense?
I'm saying that in a desperate attempt to make it make sense. Fuck, I don't know. Why did the ooze cover the mountain?
I don't even remember it covering the mountain.
It did. It was covered in glowing... the mountain's glowing with the ooze. Who knows? I'm going to look it on the wiki, because, yeah, I'm suddenly like, I don't know why that makes any sense. I don't really know anymore.
You named the title after it, and you don't even know what the ooze does.
Great Intelligence was supposed to have stayed in the cave, but they're now demanding the whole mountain. They made, like, a pact, I guess.
That I knew. That I got, like, tired of being in the cave.
Every time I get there, an ad loads. Mountaintop covered in a thick pulsating substance, which makes it impossible to climb.
But why would they need to climb the mountaintop?
Because the spheres are there?
But isn't the one guy going to get the spheres already there?
Okay, here's what it is. There's stuff connected to, I don't know.
You feel like you think? I thought you looked it up and now you know.
They caused the mountain to explode eventually, but by destroying the things that are in the control room that are linked to the cave.
Wait, but what does any of that have to do with...
Because he's like, there's another pyramid in here.
What does that have to do with the ooze?
I don't know.
You didn't... You got to like, here's what it is. What it is something completely different.
I think it's protecting the cave.
Let's just say there are parts of this that don't...
No, it is. It's a physical manifestation of the intelligence. It's a physical manifestation of the intelligence.
That makes more sense. And okay. Like you say, had the episode existed...
We probably would have gotten that.
That probably was communicated adequately. The thing that we watched in particular, there were like long stretches of like not even descriptive text, where it's just like wind and the same still for like 20 seconds. And you're like, what? Are they walking somewhere or... It's okay. Just wind and the same still. So, okay.
So, yeah.
Imagine, had the episode existed, you'd be like, okay, that's a physical manifestation of the great intelligence. Got it.
So that's, it's the same thing in New Who. It turns into snowmen and that, but this, it's turning into ooze on a mountain.
I thought it was snow.
Yetis surrounding the monastery. Doctor has a plan.
He thinks.
It's not much of a plan. He's like, we break into the control room. Then what?
We just smashed things.
Probably.
We hope for the best. We just start breaking things.
So they're at the door to the inner sanctum, and they're like, great intelligence, let us in.
And the great intelligence is like, okay.
No, he's like, no, I won't. And then he floats like a candle to be like, look at my power. So, they're like, that's really stupid. Just let us in. He's like, oh, yeah, all right.
Okay, here's another thing. Maybe this scene made more sense if I could see it. If I could see things moving, maybe it makes sense. But, like, from just the stills and the audio, what it seems like is that they just kind of walk past him and go into the secret control room while he just sort of sits there and lets them do it. I remember what it is now.
So
it does seem like that for a second, but it takes you a minute to realize that the doctor is like mind fighting him.
Because he goes in there and immediately the doctor starts screaming, which I have to say was terrifying.
I hate it anytime it happens, but also I really love it. It's true.
He starts screaming and you're like, what the fuck is happening? And then they run in there and he's like, smash the controls. Yeah, and he's like locked in a mind battle with the great intelligence. And they're like smashing the shit out of everything. The Yetis enter and Travers is following him. I've also forgot to say, Travers was not alone during all this. That's when he had the guard guy with him. He didn't really
have any personality
or anything. No. So that's why I completely forgot to mention him. But then Jamie smashes one of the spheres and a Yeti explodes. And they're like, there's a connection there. But then Travers comes in, shoots the great intelligence with his gun.
Does he?
Yeah.
That totally happens?
Yeah, and it doesn't do anything to him. He just laughs at him. Or, like, I think Travers notices that there's a pyramid, like there was a pyramid in the cave. And then the doctor's like, you gotta destroy that. Destroy the pyramid. So they destroy the pyramid, which causes the mountain to explode, the mountaintop. It causes all the Yetis to explode. Everything explodes.
Things are exploding.
Padmasambhava starts disintegrating.
Ah, it's really upsetting.
And he's like, finally, peace. Thank you, doctor. And that's his last words as he dies. It's fucked up. It's real fucked up, you guys. But good.
This is good.
Everybody says their goodbyes. Tomney looks really sad that Victoria's leaving.
I don't know why.
Well, I mean, they were cute. Yes. But she was mostly just like...
She's mostly a nuisance to him. He was a very patient man.
And as the and Travers are like, I'll take you guys back through the mountains because I know my way. And as they're going there, he's like, I'm real bummed out about the Yetis being fake. And then there's a real Yeti that, I don't know if this happened in the actual episode because we were watching a reconstruction, but there was CGI, it was one of those CGI reconstructions where it was like hopping around like on all fours.
Yes.
And making walrus noises.
Walrus noises. I was so annoyed at like the real Yeti. I don't know why.
I get it. It's a similar weird feeling I have when I watch the Scooby-Doo movie, which is, there's no real reason for the Yeti to actually exist, except that you're like, I like the Yetis, and it'd be cool if they actually were real. And I had that same thing with the Scooby-Doo movie, where the bad guy, Emil Mondavarius, the bad guy in Scooby-Doo, turns out to be, you know, spoilers, Scrappy-Doo, and he's a robot being controlled by the bad guy. guy in a mask, like always in Scooby-Doo. Like, he's been this the entire movie, so there's no reason for there to be a real Mondavarius. Yet there is. They find him in, like, a cave, and he's got a long beard, and he's like, oh, I've been down there for a long time. That crazy dog took over my life. Like, you didn't necessarily have to do that. It feels a little weird. Like, it could have just been Scrappy-Doo the entire time. You didn't need him to, like, take over the life of some guy. Like, we didn't know him before, but at the same time, you like that character, even though it's technically not that character.
Well, also, you just want to give Travers a happy ending.
Yeah. And he runs off to go chase the Yeti, and he's like, woohoo. I'm sorry for that aside about Scooby-Doo. And then Jamie's like, I'm fucking freezing. I am so cold. My knees are blue.
He's like, will you please just take me somewhere warm?
Also, the doctor totally checks out his legs at this point. Because he's like, which side? I don't see that happening, but that's what he said. So he was checking out his legs. He's like, let's go someplace warm. And then they leave.
And then, as Joe pointed out to me, the next episode is...
The Ice Warriors.
The Ice Warriors. So they do not go someplace warm.
Probably not.
And that's it. We did it.
That's the...
We did another episode.
That's the abominable...
The
Admirable Snowman.
Abominable.
Abominable. That's the Abominable Snowman. Fight of the Arts! This is such a weird serial. I liked it and didn't like it at the same time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that I really liked and a lot that just bored me. Because, like, nothing really happens for a long time. The attacks happen sporadically and don't even really have that much of an effect on the plot. Things could have moved a lot quicker. I mean, there's the unfortunate racism. There's the fact that the Great Intelligence speaks so slowly, which sometimes works, but mostly doesn't. The Great Intelligence really works when he's being
creepy,
or when he's struggling to, when, you know, the guy is struggling to be himself and not be the Great Intelligence. That's all fantastic and works really well. The scene with him and the doctor just talking to each other, and he's basically like, I want to die. That scene's great. I don't know. And Victoria's growing on me, but then she does something stupid like she did in this episode, and then I don't care for that.
I still love her.
I like that she's like, I do what I want, but sometimes it's, I don't know, it's a little like, don't
steamroll other people. It's not cool.
Yeah. Especially when she's like, yeah, go get me some food, and then takes advantage of him? Not cool. I mean, the doctor does that shit all the time, too, so. I don't know, there's stuff to like, and there's a lot of just fluff. The Yeti were really nice, speaking of fluff. I like the Yeti. Those are pretty cool.
I don't know if you picked up on this or not, but I love them.
You love fluffy things. You love robots. These are fluffy robots.
They were pretty much designed for me.
So, but all in all, I'd say it's...
I'm not alone in that, by the way. Audiences really love the Yeti.
Yeah, they come back.
That's why they come back.
They come back really soon, like in 2 serials. They were
like the most popular villain since the Daleks, and since they can't use the Daleks, they're like, great.
And they only get used once more. I think they get used in like way, way later in Classic Who, but they again hit like rights issues.
Really?
So they can use them again, yeah. The writers were like trying to like, oh, we have the rights to them and blah, 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 so they couldn't use them again and again either.
I wonder why the Yeti didn't stick around though, like the Daleks.
Oh, they're cute.
Let's bring back the Yeti. Let's bring back the Yeti in Modern Who.
We brought back the Great Intelligence.
Could you imagine grumpy ass 11 having to deal with these
fluff monsters?
Yes.
Oh, that would be great. By the way, we finished series 8.
Yeah, we are going to be caught up by the time New Who starts.
Season 10.
Very exciting. We've been behind for kind of a long time.
We blew through series 8. It was very good.
Oh, so good.
Your final thoughts. What are your final thoughts?
Well, I interrupted you like mid-sentence.
Well, no, I was just saying, I think it's a pretty, really solid serial with a lot of filler. There's a good serial in there.
Totally. To be honest, I would like for there to have been less Yeti stuff. There are two solid ideas in this serial that don't do anything to complement each other. And had they not been sort of smushed together.
Well, I feel like if you gave the Yeti more to do, give them a stronger plan of the Great Intelligence using the Yeti for something very specific instead of this vague whatever it was.
Right, the only reason why the Yeti are the Yeti and look like the Yeti is so that this can be a Yeti episode. Besides that, as like part of a plan or like anything, they don't need to be what they are. They don't help. They don't need to be fluffy. They don't need to be robots. They're just sort of soldiers that they built. Why? Why do they look like that? So we could have Yetis in this episode.
They did bring them back in New Who.
Did they?
They're the snowmen. The episode's literally called The Snowmen. They're the snowmen.
But I want Yetis. I want fluffy robots.
And they also are not actual, like, what they appear to be. They're not snowmen. They're, like, this hive mind thing.
I want fluffy robots. I don't want snowmen.
So, but you don't think they worked in this particular serial?
I mean, it's not like I don't think they couldn't. There wasn't enough of a reason for them to be the way that they were. It was just like, these are the soldiers that we built. And they have these sphere things, and why do they run on the sphere things? Because that's how we built them. And, like, are you building a lot of them for an army? I don't know, maybe, probably.
Well, if you go under the assumption that the Yeti are real, because they know about the Yeti. They say the Yeti are very calm and whatever. Making them look like the Yeti? Pretty sneaky. You wouldn't expect them to attack you.
But the Yeti aren't real. like...
But no, they are. There was one at the end of the thing. It was hopping around like a walrus.
But they're secret. They're reclusive. Like, if they exist, no one's ever seen any of them. So that's not sneaky.
Well, me and the monks apparently have, because they talked about them.
It just doesn't hold water for me.
Yeah, it's a little convoluted. But I feel like the stuff with the actual great intelligence and the person I was possessing worked really well.
Really well. Excellently, yes.
Just the performance was a little off at times.
Like I said, if more attention had been given to that, it could have been a really great top serial. But it wasn't. It's one of those ones where I'm like, I don't think they knew what was happening until it was over. Where it was like, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then I don't think there was ever a real cohesive idea of what this story should be. But I liked it. Like any episode of Doctor Who, even weaker episodes have stuff that you love.
That's it. If you liked the episode, go to WatchYourAssLon.com for more. We're on Twitter at WatchYourAss. And if you want to help support the show, you can go to WatchYourAssLon.com/support, which has a link to our Patreon page, which is Patreon.com/Watchathon, where you can find a handful of rewards, different levels where you can get cool stuff. Like you can watch us watching the episodes. You can watch uncut videos of us recording the podcast.
Which means you just heard all of that.
You heard me goofing it up. Also at watchyourassalon.com/support is a link to a Amazon wish list where you can purchase a DVD of one of the serials for us. And you'll become a sponsor of that episode of the podcast, and we'll mention you on the show, and we'll put you on a Friends of Rassilon page and other cool stuff. If you like us, tell your friends and leave a comment or a review or whatever it is on iTunes. Do that thing.
Please leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps a lot. I will love you forever. So
I already love you, but I'll love you even more. So
my love is totally conditional.
And we'll be back next time for the Ice Warriors. Which we will have a special guest. New guest. I'm going to leave it a surprise. Secret. It's someone who does another Doctor Who podcast. It's going to be joining us. So.
Okay.
So we'll see you then. Bye.
We did another one. High five.
Yeah. Keep calm and wrestle on.
You have no alternative. You have no alternative.